Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk, episode 3.
Cut.
Kirk, it's episode 3.
Episode 3.
We're back.
We're back to Reefer Madness, the podcast.
Why are you wearing those brass knuckles? You're looking a little ferocious.
Brass tacks. I should be wearing brass tacks.
We're
getting down to it now, Trevor. You know, in the first episode, episode 1, we talked about the harm reduction. In episode 2, we got to patients and we talked to people who are using cannabis. Now we're going to get into the legislation.
I made fun of him before. I'll make fun of him a little bit again. Mr. Benham, I'm sorry. Usually the legal stuff bores me to tears. Yes. I know Kirk loves this stuff.
I love this stuff.
But Aaron Benham was fantastic, really interesting, and hit on a lot of things I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, you know, and it was an interesting interview going into to the legal issue. And we did this back October, November, and everything was kind of new for us, and I didn't really know what we're going to talk about. So again, we just had a conversation.
Yeah, no, he was great, and you know, let's get into it.
Sure. Welcome to Reefer Madness. Aaron Benham.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself to us. Thank you for coming and introduce yourself.
Sure. Happy to be here. Aaron Benham. I'm a lawyer at Dawson and Bradshaw Law Office here in Dauphin. I moved to Dauphin about 2.5 years ago for the job. And I lived in Winnipeg before that. I have a Bachelor of Arts, a philosophy major, and I have my Juris Doctor, which is my law degree.
When did you get called to the bar?
My call to the bar was 2016.
Call to the bar in 2016? Oh, I feel old. I am old. I got to see Mr. Benham in action a little. 2017 was the 100th anniversary of the courthouse in Dauphin, and my son Eric's grade 7 class got to run a mock trial at the courthouse. Mr. Benham helped coach the defense side of the mock trial. Now that I've digressed, does Mr. Benham deal with cannabis issues in his practice?
You know, he's a criminal defense lawyer, so he is an advocate for his client. And it's sort of interesting, when I thought about this interview, he's coming at it as an advocate, you know, for a defendant. And so as a nurse, I'm an advocate to patient care. As a pharmacist, you're an advocate to ensure people get the proper medications.
Sure.
So when I listened to this interview after doing it, I sensed that from him. So yeah, he goes on and he discusses being a defense lawyer with cannabis as part of his practice.
Let's listen.
Well, it's something that I deal with a lot in my practice. I have a focus on criminal law. That's almost exclusively what I do. I started, our firm has a heavy practice in criminal law. And of course, with that comes along a lot of drug cases. So I've dealt with a lot of those, from just simple possession to possession for the purpose of trafficking to actual trafficking in all sorts of drugs and, of course, marijuana.
Okay. So talking about cannabis, so how much of your practice is exclusively cannabis? You say that lots of drugs, but how much exclusively
right.
cannabis?
I mean, we do, you know, pretty much any sort of, criminal activity. I would say percentage-wise, anything that to do with cannabis, I don't know, maybe 10%.
Okay.
Sure.
10% of your practice?
Of my practice, yeah.
Okay. That's a fair bit, actually, is it not?
It is. That may be a little high, but we'll go with 10.
Okay. So come July 2nd, mm-hmm. is that a bad thing we're going to legalize or?
No, I mean, there's still an act, right? So some things will still be illegal and will still have criminal consequences. It'll just be looked at differently. And I think that you could say that the people who are dealing in marijuana illegally right now might just switch to something else. So we might just see it switch over to a different substance.
Okay. So Bill C-45.
Yeah.
Can you explain to us and explain to our listeners, what does it mean? What is C-45? Is that going to be the final act or is that just the working bill? How does it work?
So it's not finalized, but I think from what I understand, it's close to what we're going to see come July 2nd.
And what I like about the act is it sort of seems to be very harm reductionist.
Right. The main thing I get from it is it's a main focus of it is protecting children. Anyone under 18, there's a they want to make sure that no one's selling to kids, that kids don't have large amounts of this, that they're not advertising to kids. So that's a main part of it from what I see.
Yeah, I'm looking at the points here. The act will seek to restrict youth access, protect young people from promotion and enticements, defer and reduce criminal activity by imposing serious criminal penalties. So protection of public, reduce the burden, provide for legal production of it, allow adults possession, and enhance public awareness. So it's very much a harm reductionist.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you talk about public awareness, this is something that's been largely kind of in the dark. Maybe not so much in past years, but you look at prohibition back in the day, and it was something where people were having to go and drink in basements and back rooms and that, and it was all kind of hush hush, and it's kind of been that way for marijuana. And now, with it coming to the forefront, kind of in the light, we're going to be able to really see, what the issues are, how do we fix those issues, and it will be more accessible in that way.
Okay. So from my perspective, I think that's a good thing. I mean, cannabis seems to, I do have some statistics, and I guess later I'll have them in hand, but in the sense of how much law enforcement is around marijuana and cannabis.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it will definitely free up a lot of resources for sure. Because right now, when you have simple possession, say, someone has a few grams on them, they get arrested, maybe for something else, but this comes along with it. They do a search, and then they have to, lay a charge of possession. And from what I've seen since I've started practicing is the Crown will typically, if someone has no record, they don't really have any drug history, they'll actually offer to divert those charges outside of the court. So they call it diversion. And they'll allow them to maybe take part in some drug counseling, things like that. And then once they've successfully completed that, they'll just drop the charge. They'll enter a stay of proceedings.
So these are people who have been charged with simple,
yes,
I'm going to call it simple cannabis charges.
Sure.
And there's nothing else involved. They walking down the street and they got a couple grams and
right.
Hey, buddy, come
simple
with me.
Possession of cannabis.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast.
So Kirk, I know you've read Bill C-45 several times. And reading this stuff generally gets you excited. I can hear you being excited right now.
Yeah, I was reading legislation and regulations and stuff. This is back in October, November when we started this project.
So you had a legal expert there to pick his brain. What are some of the finer or more interesting points of C-45 you guys got into?
Yeah, he gets into C-45, he gets into other legislation, but yeah, let's listen to the lawyers speak to us.
The way I see it, I think it's kind of turning, taking something that was mainly criminal into something more regulatory. So you'll see changes like, for example, in the selling and the distribution, the amounts that you can have, there are certainly criminal repercussions, but then it allows the provinces to make their own legislation. For example, the LCGA that regulates, young people having alcohol, how many people you can put in a bar, things like that, which is not a criminal offense, but something that the province would enforce.
LCGA?
The Liquor Gaming and Control
Okay.
Act.
And Manitoba has said they're going to be part of this equation with the distribution.
Yes, I don't know exactly in what capacity. I think they're still working on that, but that's something that the provinces themselves will look at.
Is there anything you want to add about just the legislation change and how that's going to affect your practice?
Well, I think that, like I said, there's certain things that will still be illegal. It's still, illegal to have cannabis that wasn't obtained properly. It's still illegal to sell that type of cannabis. It's going to be still illegal to sell to children like it is now, albeit, not dealt with quite as seriously because it's no longer a illegal substance.
As of July 1st.
As of July 2nd, yes.
Yeah. So today it's an illegal subject.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Right.
Okay, Kirk, you and I have talked about what happens to old drug convictions once recreational cannabis has been legalized. Like, Are they still there? Did you get into that with Mr. Bedham?
We did. We did get into that. But let me get to some of our references here. I'm looking at the Canadian Nursing Association companion document, and it's titled, "A Focus on Harm Reduction for Non-Medical Cannabis Use." It's a supplement to the CNA, the Canadian Nursing Association Harm Reduction Discussion Paper. They talk a little bit about prohibition and the cost to Canada for it. And one of the things they say in this paper is more than half of the drug crimes reported by police in 2013 were possession of cannabis. Each year, Canada spends more than $1 billion to enforce cannabis possession laws, arresting more than 60,000 people for simple possession. Nearly 3% of all arrests represent cannabis possession. So that's at least 500,000 people, Canadians, carrying criminal records for this offense. So I talked to Aaron about this, because when you start thinking about harm reduction, and if you believe that the federal government is legalizing cannabis for the purposes of harm reduction and regulating and legislation and controlling the drug, then I think they need to go back and automatically, this is my opinion, pardon those guys, those 500,000 people, because it's just going to create more work for the system for these guys to all try to suspend their record. But let's
hear what the lawyer has to say. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you have taken a bit of a controversial opinion on that?
Well, an editorial opinion.
An editorial.
Yeah, but let's listen to Aaron. Okay, so let's talk about past tense then. In your opinion, and I know this may be an unfair question in a sense, but in your opinion, what happens to all those fellas and girls out there that have criminal records due to possession of a substance that is no longer illegal come July 2nd.
Right. So I'm sure there'll be some concerns there, because, you know, from their perspective, they have a criminal record. Say they were convicted on July 1st for something like that, and then come July 2nd, someone else gets charged with the exact same thing, and they won't have records. So as it stands, in order to get... people refer to it as a pardon, but it's actually called a record suspension. You have to wait 5 years from your sentencing date, your date of conviction, and then you can apply for a record suspension. Someone, say if they were to try and do that today, they've waited the 5 years, they got convicted 5 years ago. Something like a simple possession of marijuana, I don't think they'd have any trouble getting that wiped from their record. So that will be the process going forward. Now, a lot of people are going to be upset that they would have to wait that 5 year period. I foresee that there will be, I hope that there would be some sort of streamlined process for those types of people who that's the only charge they have on their records is a simple possession of marijuana or cannabis. I think that it just makes sense not to lump them in with the rest of the people who have, you know, other charges that are still illegal.
So what happens when you have your record? What did you call it? You said
it's a record suspension.
Record suspension. So it goes away. What happens to it? It must does it go into a bit bucket? Does it go into another file? I mean, if someone taps me into a computer, they still find it?
Right. What so happens? It would essentially be taken away from the system. You know, the RCMP would be the ones who can access your criminal record, and it would be essentially gone from their system.
But if I get caught by a municipality police force, and I get a pardon from a federal jurisdiction.
Right. I should say, whether it's RCMP, if you're living out here, or if you're in Winnipeg, right. Winnipeg, if you're in Brandon Police Services, whatever, whoever laid the charge, I suppose, although it's available to any force. It's just you're no longer considered to have that connection.
So if I go across the border and they call my name up, it's gone.
So with borders, I always caution people, because, you know, they always ask, well, if I have this on my record or if I have that on my record, can I get through? And I always, you know, like to remind them that, you know, it's really up to the country that you're trying to enter, whether they want you in or not. And there's really no hard and fast rules to it. They have their own, decisions they make. And they could deny you for, you know, whatever reason they want, essentially. So I never tell people you're for sure going to get in, but it'll for sure make it easier.
But if your record has been suspended,
right,
there's no ethical, moral, lawful reason for you to declare that I had a record.
That's right. You can go in there and say, I have no criminal record.
I have
record.
No criminal
That's
record.
Right.
So because it's expunged.
Yes.
Okay. So So now we're going to have a whole country, July 2nd, that's legal. Mm-hmm. How are you going to advise your clients if they want to go to the States when the States has said and documented that they have restricted people who have admitted? Mm-hmm. There was a fellow who went to Washington State and went into a dispensary in Washington, a cannabis retail outlet, opposed to a dispensary. And he said, yeah, well, I tried something. And the border guard said, well, you're no longer welcome in our country. And he was coming from a legalized state to a country and back. So what's going to happen? What do you think?
Well, like I said before, you know, each country has their own laws and regulations that you have to follow if you want to go into their country. So, you know, it's all well and good that, Canada has, will have essentially legalized it. But if you're going to the States, I would advise people to be careful.
Careful. Just don't tell the whole truth.
Well, I mean, I have to be careful about that one. Yeah. But, it's up to them what they want to tell the security. And if they know that something like that's going to get them in trouble, it's up to them whether they want to disclose it.
Okay. Cool. All right, Trevor, let's talk a little bit about Desiree Dorian. Now, Desiree Dorian is a Dauphinite, long-term, grew up in Dauphin, as far as I know, the stories I've heard about her. Went off to school, became a professional. She's now back raising two kids and raising a husband, I guess, as well. And practicing in Dauphin and sings. Now, this lady here, she has been nominated for Aboriginal Songwriter of the Year in 2017 with the Canadian Folk Music Awards. And she was also Country Music Award winner, 5 nominations for the Country Music Awards 2017. She won Songwriter of the Year that year. And in 2014, she was Aboriginal Album of the Year. So let's listen to Whiskey Nose. I like this song. This has good words. She's a great songwriter, this lady.
Madness, the podcast.
You got that crooked grin on your face. I can smell the booze from a mile away. You lean over, try to plant a kiss. But this ain't the man I fell in love with. Porch door slams and the kids are afraid. You could cut the silence with a rusty blade. We all know that trouble ain't far away. And you'll be rolling through here like a runaway train. Whiskey nose be your friend, how to justify, how to get revenge, how to chase my love away when it starts to flow. Only the whiskey knows. Younger you at the bottom of a hollow in a tangled wreck. They found her Chevy with you in it. Whiskey knows how to be your friend, how to justify, get revenge, how to chase my love away when it starts to flow. Only the whiskey knows. Only the me like you did before. try to be your friend. How to justify, how to get revenge, how to chase my love.
Okay, so welcome back to Reefer Madness, the episode 3. Thank you, Desiree, for a wonderful song. I really like that song.
Cool. So you covered getting a record suspension for your cannabis possession charge, and you covered crossing the U.S. border. What's your hot topic next?
Well, the next hot topic is driving while high, right? So Aaron gets into that, and again, let's hear him talk.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast.
One of the biggest issues about cannabis is, and everyone's talking about driving. And from my understanding about how cannabis works in the system, it's not quite the same as alcohol. Cannabis sort of stays in the system a little longer.
That's right.
So I guess from the perspective as a lawyer, and I'm a guy who's just been pulled over and stopped for smoking pot July 3rd. Right. And I said, you know what? I had myself a little bit of a hit 5 hours ago. Mm-hmm. And the officer pulls me over, and I call you up and say, "Hey, Aaron, I need some help."
So the tests that they have now, forget about July 3rd, you can be arrested for driving while impaired, and that doesn't have to be alcohol. It can be alcohol, drug, anything, they have to prove that you were impaired. And your ability to drive a car was impaired by something. Now, how do they do that? They have when you talk about alcohol, it's a little easier because they have that roadside screening device that they use, an approved screening device, ASD. And they can give that to you, and it'll either register as a pass or a fail or a warn. So if you fail that, then they have grounds to arrest you for impaired, and then they usually bring you to the station and give you the demand to blow into the real breathalyzer, and that'll give you your actual number, 0.08, higher or lower. Now, they can also form the grounds that you're impaired by just observing you. So typically what we see is if someone has slurred speech, if they, have glassy eyes, their breath smells like alcohol, their manner of driving was a little odd, they were swerving all over the road. Something like that. Now, it is a gray area, but they would at least be able to charge them with that. So when we're talking about impaired by a substance, the observation alone can form the grounds to arrest them for that. Now, from what I've seen with driving while impaired on marijuana, they can employ the roadside test. They observe them walking. Yeah, I'm sure we've all familiar with touching the nose and walking 10 steps. So that's another way they can do it. They have a sheet that they fill out and check off the boxes. And if they feel that person met the test for being impaired, they charge them. That's what they do for cannabis right now. And there's nothing that's going to change right away as soon as this legislation comes in. So they're going to have to keep doing that. Now, I've heard they're proposing that maybe they give them saliva swabs. They can have them spit into a little cup. Now, the problem with that is what you were saying is that THC can stay in your system for quite some time. So while they could maybe prove that they had smoked some marijuana or had THC in their system, they can't prove that they were impaired by that alone. So that's not going to cut it. They're going to have to come up with some test that's better than that. And right now, I don't know what that'll be.
Yeah, I enjoyed that conversation. Now, but you were sitting in the sidelines chomping at the bit. You also wanted to ask him some questions.
Yeah. As a pharmacist, some of the medications I dispense might affect a person's motor skills. And, you know, that affects driving. And so I had a lawyer in the room. I really wanted to talk to him about that.
Segue. So I'm a pharmacist. And, you know, we literally give people all sorts of stuff that are going to impair them.
Right.
And in theory, there could be medicinal marijuana mm-hmm. a year from now. I tell people to, you know, be careful before operating heavy machinery with mm-hmm. their medications all the time. Have you run into people who are, you know, taking their regular prescriptions, gotten into trouble with the police by driving, and sort of any sort of thoughts you can pass back to the pharmacist thing to don't do this because Aaron's seen this happen?
Right. Well, we always see those warning labels on the prescription bottles. Don't drive or operate the machinery after you've used it. And, you know, it's really it's on them to make sure that they're not impaired while they're driving. And from what I've seen, it's not a defense to say that, well, the doctor said I prescribed me this. Because, you know, they should know that this is going to affect them in that way. You know, in the same way that, you know, if someone has prescription pills and then they're taking more than they should and that's impairing them, that's not an excuse. It's not going to be a defense.
Is there often people arrested for taking their pharmaceuticals and driving?
I haven't seen it very often. I think the only I see it actually more often when people are arrested for breaching their bail conditions or their probation order that says they should not have any illegal drugs or prescription pills that they don't have a medication for, and sometimes they'll go and take a bunch, even though they've been prescribed it. And, you know, the courts have said that, well, you know, that's not okay. If you're taking more than your allotted prescription, you're voluntarily, you know, making yourself impaired, and that's a breach of your conditions.
Right.
I haven't seen that as often with driving, but I have seen cases where people were impaired by, you know, something other than alcohol or any illegal drugs, and it was prescription, and it really is the same result.
It's interesting because there's we know of, I mean, as a pharmacist, Trevor knows of people who will pick up their narcotics, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've seen people go, oh, take one, and in the pharmacy, get a glass of water. I'm sure, because I see it in my practice. Someone will take a glass of water, take their T3, and walk out and get behind the wheel of a car, mm-hmm. and off they go, and it's like, what am I supposed to do with that information, right? Because they're not supposed to be, you know, but yet it's prescribed.
Right.
So now when we deal with cannabis, we're going to have medicinal cannabis and recreational cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone gets their brownie or their, you know, medicinal and has a bite and goes for a drive,
right.
Hey, it's prescribed. I have pain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a defense?
Well, now we have to remember that the offense is driving while impaired. So just because you've, you know, had a hit or had a little bit of brownie, maybe it hadn't kicked in yet, the charge is driving while impaired. So if you know, say someone has a beer, two beers, they're probably not impaired to the level. That's why we have it set at 0.08.
Right.
So in the same way as, you know, if...
But a beer hasn't been prescribed.
That's right.
You don't
right.
have a a prescription for it.
Right. I don't think it makes any difference at all whether it's been prescribed or not, honestly. I think that if it's something that will affect your ability to drive in such a way that it becomes criminal, I think there should be some kind of warning, and often there is. One would hope, but it's up to them. They're making that decision to take that pill and get behind the wheel.
Kirk, that was fantastic. What else did you and Mr. Benham talk about?
Well, we went on to talk about the head shops, and I thought this was interesting because, as you know, one of our early sponsors is Allie, and she owns a local Heads Held High head shop, and she sells paraphernalia. So we wanted to ask him about the laws of the paraphernalia shop. Now, this becomes a little bit more relevant. Now, we didn't have the time to ask Aaron about this, and we're going to discuss this at the end of this discussion about the Manitoba regulations. And Manitoba regulations has 19 as going to be the legal age for cannabis in Manitoba, opposed to 18, which is the federal legislation. So the question I will have in the future will be, what happens with Manitoba and the 19-year-old? Will people be able to sell paraphernalia to 19-year-olds in Manitoba? They're going to have to change that. But having said that, let's listen to Aaron say, how do paraphernalia shops get away with selling paraphernalia?
Into the gray zone.
Into the gray zone. What do you think about these paraphernalia stores? How do they stay in business? I mean, so I got a store with water pipes and bongs, and we all know intuitively that it's for cannabis. How do these stores stay in? How do they get licenses? Can you speak to that at all?
Well, I think the key word is paraphernalia. They're not selling cannabis. They're selling, and like you said, they're selling things that we all know that is likely to be used for cannabis, but. You know, they sell rolling papers and pipes that could be used for other things and I'm sure are used for other things sometimes. So when it comes down to it, they're not selling any illegal substances. And I think that's really, the gist of it. It may seem sketchy. They may be targeted by police more often because there's some things going on. Maybe they're selling out the back door, things like that.
Right, right.
But what they're actually selling, what they're doing isn't illegal.
So it's a legit business, but on the gray zone.
Right.
So, Kirk, I hear you've got a new term for a hypothetical person who may have been using cannabis for a few decades.
I talked to Aaron a little bit about old outlaws versus new early adapters. Also, come July 2nd, what advice do you give your clients? Like, I think one of the things I'm thinking about is that I may or may not have been an outlaw for the last 40 years. Hmm. But as of July 2nd, am I an early adapter? Right. So I guess the question I have for you is on my resume or as a like, what do you do from a.
Yeah. So you're talking about the difference between the law and the culture.
Yes.
And one has to catch up to the other. And, you know, in some ways the law is catching up to culture, but in some ways it's the other way around. There's still going to be people who feel it's, the people who use it are a different type, and they don't approve of it. So I would say, it's really up to that person, He's talked about resume, well, what kind of place are you applying for? Is it a place that has traditionally frowned upon that sort of thing? Maybe you don't talk about that part of your life. I don't put on my resume that, I enjoy a glass of bourbon. It's not really anyone's business. Definitely it's something that you have to be aware of. And still there's going to be quite a few people that don't approve. And in that sense, it's going to have to catch up to the law.
Mm-hmm. What was the FBI agent from? What's the FBI agent?
Just the facts, man.
No, the fella. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do once prohibition is over? He says, "I'm gonna go have a drink." Elliot Ness. Elliot Ness. So I guess what's gonna happen July 2nd? We're all just gonna go and roll up a spliff. I don't know. I guess it's this. Do you want to speak on the stigma?
I think that the people who already use it are going to keep using it. The people who, have never used it or don't use it, maybe for other reasons besides the fact that it's illegal right now, they're not really going to be, jumping at the chance to go use it. But there will be some people who are on the fence who said, I enjoy it, now and then. And now that it's illegal, it's a little more comfortable for me. It's a little more acceptable. I always think that there's going to be a little bit going towards maybe this culture of connoisseur, having different strains and things like that. And it's actually, I think that's a positive thing because you see that with alcohol. You look at prohibition, they were drinking the worst stuff.
Bathtub gin.
Exactly. And now it's night and day, the world of wine and world of beer and world of spirits. I think it's going to eventually become that way with cannabis. And I think that's a good thing.
That's a really interesting comment. I just had a conversation with somebody today, and they called it a bud tender instead of a bartender. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We have a new yeah. nomenclature, the bud tender. So and when you talk about resumes, at one point in a resume, I did talk about sometimes they used to say talk about your hobbies. Well, one of my hobbies is brewing. I've been brewing for 35 years. I've been creating my own alcohols. you know, beer, wine, meads. So come July 2nd, does someone put on their resume, well, you know, I've kind of been growing stuff in my basement for right. 5 years. So can someone be arrested for doing something 5 years ago when the law changes?
No.
No. Okay. So, no. All right. What would you like people to know as a lawyer about cannabis, about the law, anything?
Well, I think that people have to remember that there are still laws. They've just changed. And I think it's moving in the right direction. I think that this cannabis coming into the foreground, into light, is going to eventually be a good thing. Things are going to have to catch up. The culture, the way that it's enforced, especially with driving impaired cases, that's going to have to catch up. And I think that that it's now being legalized, it's almost the kick in the pants that needs to focus on it, because, you know, there hasn't really been a change in that for years. And I think now there's some there's a need to really focus on that. Other than that, I think people just need to be aware of what the law is, and you know, if they want to stay out of trouble with the law, to follow that.
Okay, so we've heard from the lawyer. That was a good discussion. We need to get him back again, because as the laws change, opinions are going to change. For example, one of the things that's happening in Manitoba, as with the other territories and provinces in Canada, is we're having different regulations in different provinces. Manitoba has chosen to make it 19 as legal age for consumption of cannabis in the future. And they're also chosen to say that you cannot grow cannabis in your house. So the federal legislation says that you can grow 4 plants in your house and that you can be 18 and consume cannabis. But in Manitoba, it's going to change. So I asked Aaron, I emailed Aaron about this, and he wanted to talk to me, but unfortunately, a busy criminal lawyer, he's out there defending people.
Out there saving the world.
Out saving people. He couldn't come in and record it. So what he explained to me was that there is federal legislation, and the federal government comes up with criminal legislation, whereas the province comes up with provincial regulations. So the legislation supersedes the regulation. The legislation supersedes the regulation. However, if I or someone else chooses to grow 4 plants in my house in Manitoba, the RCMP can come in and fine me for it. So I could be charged a fine, and I may do, you know, I could do jail time for it, because I have not followed the regulations of Manitoba. But would I get a criminal record for it? No. So I think you're right. You said earlier that it'd probably be like underage drinking. Well,
it's like the drinking law. So right now, Manitoba's drinking law, drinking age is 18. Where both Saskatchewan and Ontario, the two provinces around us, are 19.
19, yeah.
So now, not being a legal expert, I think it's got to fall into that sort of same zone.
Anyways, come back and listen to it. So that's the end of the lawyer.
This is Reefer Madness.
The podcast.
Reefer, I'm Trevor. Who are you?
I am Kirk the nurse. You are Trevor.
The pharmacist.
The pharmacist. And where do they find us?
Everywhere, especially on the social medias.
On that social media, yeah.
And our home on the web is reefermed.ca.
Reefermed.ca. Now, what's really cool about that is you can listen to us on reefermed.ca. And I just recently was someplace with very low bandwidth and very low connectivity, and I could be listening to us. I listened to us. And we sound good.
We sounded good. That's all thanks to Renee. Yeah. In person, we don't sound that good.
No, he's not allowed to talk, right? He's the guy that's basically controlling this whole game. Now, who else should we be thanking? We should be talking about Sexy Roofs.
Oh, yeah. Sexy Roofs. And we've got Evolve Green. We literally have... We're both users and promoters of the products. We both have solar panels on our roofs.
And Lorena has been a huge supporter of ours, to the point that she's brainstorming ideas and how we can market ourselves on the web.
Yeah, she does great little videos and stuff to promote and explain her products.
Evolve Green.
Call Lorena.
Yeah, I do, because she's really good, and she provides alternative energy. She's a Manitoba business, and she is supporting our podcast episode 1, episode 3, and she'll also be
back
supporting
for number 5.
Number 5, and that's Evolve Green. Now, the other thing out there is that these podcasts ain't cheap, guys. So if there are businesses out there that are liking what we're doing, call us and help us out, because we're doing this on our own, right?
Yeah.
And the help of the local radio station.
7:30 CKDM.
Okay, so Trevor, I announced that when we started this project that I was looking at this as a paper.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so when you're writing a paper, you have to reread. So, of course, I've been listening to our podcast, and I recognize that I made a comment that I need to clarify. And I made a comment to you about, and I think I made the same comment to Dr. Fandre, is that my research told me that when we came out of, and this is the American statistic, when we came out of Prohibition, that there was actually a drop in the consumption of alcohol.
I think I hear an audio footnote coming.
There's an audio footnote, and this is me trying to be responsible. I went back and did some research, and I wasn't wrong. But what I need
good to hear, good to hear.
Well, no, yeah, I wasn't wrong, but I need to clarify what I meant. And what I meant was that when America went into Prohibition, they had a lot of people drinking alcohol. Now, of course, when they went into Prohibition, there was a huge drop in alcohol consumption. But yet, Prohibition didn't work. So people started drinking little bit, right? Until Prohibition was abolished. So what happened is less people were drinking alcohol when Prohibition was abolished than those were drinking beforehand, right? Okay. So that's what I meant by that. So there wasn't necessarily a drop in people drinking alcohol. So then I related that to cannabis smoking, and I related it to, well, there might be a drop in cannabis smoking.
Yeah.
So I just want to make a clarification. There was less people drinking alcohol after Prohibition than before.
Nope. Audio footnote noted.
Thank you very much.
Reefer Madness, the podcast.
All right, Trevor, we're going to end the podcast with Like a Flower. I'm going to ask people to spend some time. Don't just turn off your podcast. Desiree wrote a song that I really like a Flower. This song, the words are meaningful. Spend some time, fade out with this podcast and listen to the words. Great, great job, Desiree. We'll see you. We'll see you at the next social.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
Spent many nights waiting for Mama in the car outside the local bar. She'd say, I'm just going in for a cold one, but I knew that meant six more. When she'd had her fill, she'd take me home, wasted behind the wheel. I'd go to school the very next day, like it was no big deal. I'm away. Our mamas, or determine our circumstance. Raising babies, it ain't easy. You do the best that you can. There's always food on the table and love to go around. We all make mistakes sometimes. stumble and I might fall. I was raised by a rolling stone. One foot in front of the other, I take it day by day. I'm the furthest thing from perfect, but you're never gonna hear them say. Sidewalk crack.